Many of the biggest blockbuster movies of the past decade or so started as comic books. Captain America, X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy, even Hellboy and The Watchmen. Emory University's College of Arts and Sciences has teamed up with the Department of Film and Media Studies to show some iconic movies based on comics. The Emory Cinematheque series is called Drawn to Film, From Comics to Cinema. The screenings are free and open to the public every Wednesday night on campus. Eddie Van Mueller is the series curator. He's also a senior lecturer of film and media studies at Emory and joins me now. It's good to have you.
Great to be here.
So when do you think this, the real sort of renaissance of comics-based movies began?
Well, movies based on comics have been around as long as we've had movies. In 1904, they were making a movie series based on the Buster Brown comic strip. And most of these properties have been on the big screen or the small screen forever. But I would probably date the renaissance to Richard Donner's Superman film in 1978, which was a big blockbuster, mainstream cast, wide release. And that kind of got the modern era of at least the superhero film started. But
It kind of was a stumbly start, though.
It was.
Because the Superman films that came after were not as high quality.
That's true. I think that visual effects technology is something we can't discount here. One of the issues with superheroes, especially, is making them look good on screen is a big challenge. If you take a look at Superman in the television series from the 50s, for example, or Batman from the 1966 TV series, it's a pretty disappointing take. Tim Burton's Batman in 1989 is going to be a real game changer. It's going to be one of the most profitable films ever made up to that point. And Jack Nicholson's Joker is going to make this tremendous splash. But really, it's going to be when digital visual effects mature in the last 2 decades.
Right.
That we start to see superhero films.
When it became believable for people to fly, for example.
Right. And you can make Spider-Man not look like a guy in long underwear.
Right, although he still kind of does. Let's talk about the comics-based movies that have not worked necessarily. And let's start with Popeye. This was a 1980 live-action musical. Robin Williams, of course, starring as the title character, and Shelley Duvall was Olive Oil. Let's hear a little bit of it.
What am I? I'm Popeye, the sailor. And I am what I am, what I am, and I am what I am, and that's all that I am, because I am what I am.
Now, they spent a huge amount of money on this. They actually created that whole little seaside town.
Yep. They spent 7 months and most of their budget making Sweet Haven.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, Robin Williams' starring role. I mean, you would think.
Well, and, of course, Altman was already a huge name.
Robert Altman, the director.
Robert Altman. I actually really like Popeye. I know I'm not in the majority.
That's part of the film series, is it not?
It is. We already showed it. I think that it was a really careful attempt to capture something from the comic strip. And comic strips and films, even though they're kindred arts, it certainly is a film that did not work. And it was actually a grudge film.
What do you mean? You mean for you to include it or for them to make it?
For them to make it. What had happened was they had done this Broadway revival of this Broadway musical of Annie, and there was a bidding war for the film rights to the Broadway show of Annie, and Paramount basically lost that fight.
So they made Popeye.
So they made
but
Popeye.
But jokes on them, it was a dud.
And they made Popeye, and they were determined to get it out before Annie. And they beat Annie by a couple years, but they did not beat Annie
not
in
by
any
their
other,
return.
In any other way.
So that is one of them. I just want to talk about some of the, I mean, mention some of the others that you've played. You played, of course, Batman. Barbarella, which a lot of people either have never heard of, or if they have heard of it, may not have realized it was based on a comic. Then you've got Flash Gordon, which has become a sort of cult, kitschy film. You know, mm-hmm. people watch that because it's a cult film at this point. Is that why you included it?
I included
soundtrack by Queen, though.
Soundtrack by Queen is awesome. I think it marks an important trend. This is a period of time when cartoons are not being taken seriously. And the
it was made in 1980. Yeah,
1980, and it's based on Alex Raymond's long-running comic strip, which is played very straight. It's a very serious comic strip, but we just don't take these properties seriously. And the idea of making a serious drama out of a science fiction cartoon or comic strip, it's not really something that people are thinking about in the 1980s. And so it's very campy and it's very kitschy and it's very fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, you can't watch it as a serious property, but yeah, if you approach it in the right. But let's move forward then to 2001, because from what you said, this is sort of part of the beginning of the Renaissance. Let's hear a little bit from Ghost World, because I think that's the next film you're showing.
Yeah.
A very young Scarlett Johansson in here, along with Thora Birch. They just graduated from high school. They're kind of lost for a direction. And this is where Birch's character, Enid, has just started working at a movie theater concession stand. Her new boss, not happy with her.
There you go, smothered in delicious yellow chemical sludge.
What the hell is wrong with you?
What? I was just joking around with the customers. It's my shtick.
We'll lose it.
Okay, if you're just joining us, my guest is Eddie Van Mueller. He's a senior lecturer of film and media studies at Emory University, curator of the screening series Drawn to Film, From Comics to Cinema. What sets Ghost World apart from, say, a Popeye?
I think part of what sets Ghost World apart is that it reflects something that's happened in the comics medium that the mainstream public, by and large, is unaware of. It's interesting. At the same time that superheroes are becoming mainstream media, and superheroes are really what most people associate comics with, at least since the late 1960s, there's a lot of interesting literature that's emerging in the graphic novel or the comics form. And these are writers and artists who are taking on real-world issues and really believable characters and looking at things in a new way. And Ghost World comes out of that graphic novel alternative comics movement. So it's still very much a comic book or a comics film, but I don't think audiences recognize it as such, because for the audience, comics are fantasy and science fiction and superheroes.
I mean, I think it's telling to note that this is less than 10 years after Mouse, the graphic novel Mouse about the Holocaust, won the Pulitzer Prize. So you're right, although I don't think, as you say, the mainstream public sort of recognizes this change in the approach. So coming up in your film series, the next few films is 300, which I think kind of fits into what you're saying, Captain America and the Peanuts movie. So 300 is a movie that many people didn't realize was based on a graphic novel. Many people didn't realize that's why the movie looked the way that it did. So does it matter if people know the original material?
That's a really interesting question. And for the comic book industry, it's become an interesting problem because these films aren't driving up readership. People saw 300, and it's not like they rushed over to Amazon to buy the trade paperback of the comics. And it's not like Lord of the Rings or Gone with the Wind, where the books have a really, really wide readership, except for maybe some of the very mainstream books. I think that what matters maybe to the audience, it's not so much being familiar with the specific comic. I do think a sensibility has entered our cinema, a kind of graphicness and a kind of hyperbole, a visual extravagance. And that, I think, can be found in films in a wide range of genres from a wide range of studios. And I think you see it in 300, where you're watching this movie. You may not know the comic book, but you know it doesn't look like other movies. It looks different. It has a different approach to the color palette, a different approach to sort of visual effects, and we're going to find that in a lot of recent films.
So the movie that you end with on November 30th is the Peanuts movie. Peanuts occupies a special place because, as you say, something like Flash Gordon or even Popeye at this point are probably too old-fashioned and too naive, in some ways innocent, to capture a wider viewing audience. So why do we still like Peanuts?
Well, Peanuts debuts in 1950.
Yeah.
It's a very old franchise. The majority of comic strips survive their creators. So when the original creator of Blondie passes away or retires, or the original creator of Dick Tracy passes away or retires, different artists take over. Peanuts is so beloved and so inextricably intertwined with Charles Schulz and what he did with the Peanuts that it's not passed on to somebody else.
Yeah, same as Calvin and Hobbes, which is another exception.
It occupies this really, really special place. And I will tell you that I was very dismayed when they said they were going to make a film of it. I went into the Peanuts movie totally prepared
to hate it.
To hate it and to take it apart. And I actually think that it's quite successful. And I think it's because it retains the sweetness.
I agree, actually. I really enjoyed that movie.
It retains the charm, and there's almost no attempt to make the Peanuts movie work like a 21st century kids movie, which are frankly full of oblique sexual references and fart jokes.
Nothing against fart jokes.
Exactly. But I like a good fart joke as much as the next college professor. But I think that had they updated it too much, had they made it too current, it would have lost its charm. And I think that's worth remembering, that comics are part of a shared cultural heritage. They're part of a popular mythology that really spans the entire 20th century.
Yeah.
And we've been seeing, you know, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and Charlie Brown
forever.
Christmas.
It's
part of who we are.
Eddie Von Mueller, Senior Lecturer of Film and Media Studies at Emory University, also Curator of Emory Cinematheque Series, Drawn to Film, From Comics to Cinema. Thank you so much.
Thank you.